Well, coming up at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at Flyleaf Books, you want to mark your calendars for this. It's going to be a really interesting book talk that has a lot of local import. Andy Thomason was the editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel when he was at UNC. Now he is with the Chronicle for Higher Education, assistant managing editor there. He has just written a book called Discredited, the UNC Scandal and College Athletics Amateur Ideal. This is an in-depth investigation of the long, long paper class scandal at UNC. A lot of new information that you haven't heard before, even if you've been following that scandal very closely while it was unfolding. The talk on Tuesday is going to be at 6 p.m. at Flyleaf Books. You can get more information on their website, flyleafbooks.com. The book is out. It is absolutely worth reading, even if you can't make it to the talk tomorrow. We are joined on the phone by the author himself, Andy Thomason, joining us this morning. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
I had a chance to read the book recently, and it really is terrific. And as someone who followed and covered that scandal very closely while it was unfolding, a lot of information I knew and a lot that I didn't, and really some interesting insights that I didn't know before or hadn't considered. You also followed the scandal and covered it very closely while it was unfolding. What did you learn while working on this project that was new or surprising to you?
Well, there are a couple things there. And the first and probably the most important thing that I learned was that at the very root of this scandal was the long simmering, contradictory notion that big time college athletes are students first. And what this project allowed me to do was excavate the history of that idea and basically figure out that this scandal had a deep, deep root cause that was very easy to miss in the moment. You know, journalists like us, at the time the scandal was unfolding, were focusing on proximate causes, right? Who are the people, who are the characters, who made the wrong decisions? When in fact, one of the things I discovered was that this scandal was a long time coming. In some ways, you might consider it inevitable, given the contradictions laden in the amateur ideal of college athletics. And basically what I found is that contradiction made a scandal like this easy to see coming, and in some ways inevitable.
And in fact, there were significant figures both at UNC and in college athletics and in academia in general who did kind of foresee this all the way back in the 30s and 40s, right? That was the most fascinating part of the book for me.
That's right. The famous UNC president Frank Porter Graham, mm-hmm. in the mid 30s looked in the decades ahead and predicted that if you're allowed to give athletic scholarships to students, this is essentially pay for play, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what he predicted it would do is create two classes of students, one subsidized, one unsubsidized, and that was going to create problems. It was going to create a division that was going to be very hard to control and allow for on campuses. And the phrase he used is it'll create campus problems undreamed of. He was basically saying we can't even imagine what this is going to look like and what kind of problems it will create in the future. And that's a direct, I mean, if you looked at it in a particular way, that's a direct prediction of the paper classes.
Of course, every university now that has a big-time sports program, a D1 sports program, participates in that exact same institutional structure. UNC's not alone. So what do you think it is that led this particular scandal to happen at UNC? Was it just chance that it emerged at UNC and UNC is not alone, or is there something unique about this university?
There's something unique about UNC, and there's two factors I'd point out here. One is UNC's sterling reputation made it so that when a scandal came along, it was going to hit harder, right? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And that was the case at UNC, where as soon as there was any inkling of wrongdoing, the wider world, you know, reacts with strong emotions, right? Because UNC's Carolina way was so strong and so identifiable that it made the revelations look even worse. The other thing I would point out is, as a university with high academic standards, the differential, the contradiction, is stronger because you have student athletes or college athletes at UNC who come in, and all their incentives, and I'm talking about big-time college athletes here, all their incentives are to focus on their sport, right? They worked untold hours on their sport every week. And so to then, a division takes hold where when the incentives drive the athlete toward participation in sport, there's less time to focus on classes. So you need a release valve, right? And that's what created the paper classes. So higher academic standards make for a wider gulf that a put upon time-pressured athlete has to traverse, and that's hard.
Speaking with Andy Thomason again, the author of Discredited, new book about the UNC academic athletic paper class scandal. What's your shorthand for the scandal? Because there were so many different iterations of it. By the time it got to the end, it's like, you know, that thing. I don't even know what to call it anymore.
Yeah, I think the term paper classes certainly makes sense. You know, in researching the book, I came to often think of it as a shadow curriculum, mm-hmm. phantom courses. One of the most important things I came across in research is that, like I was just saying, when you have time-pressured college athletes who have to focus on their sport and then also be a student on the side, one of the pressures it creates, and we see this in what happened with the academic support program at UNC, is to pressure athletes into a less time-intensive, easier curriculum of courses that put less stress upon them. And this is one of the things that was key to what Mary Willingham, who was a whistleblower at the heart of this scandal, one of the things that she pointed out and really stressed is that, are we really living up to our commitment to big-time college athletes by promising them a degree, but then when they get here, we're shuttling them into classes that may be less demanding and may not be delivering upon that promise?
One of the other, and you mentioned Mary Willingham, I think one of the other really interesting things and the thing that I appreciated about the book is the fact that it's also, in addition to a really in-depth chronicle of what happened, it's also a very powerful character study of a lot of the people who got caught up in this and a lot of folks who had their kind of reputations sullied by it fairly and usually unfairly. And the cool thing about the book is there are no villains here. There are maybe some tragic heroes, people who maybe made some wrong decisions and maybe made some wrong choices, but here's their motivation, here's why they were doing it, here's what they thought they were doing right, here's what they actually were doing right. And that was the case for just about every major figure in this scandal in the book. By the end of it, I felt better about Julius Nyangoro, Deborah Crowder, Jan Boxall, Mary Willingham, Holden Thorpe, like all of these figures who were caught up in this. It really shed some light on where they were coming from, why they were doing what they were doing. And the fact that there really are no villains in this story makes it, I think, more complex and a little bit sadder that all of these people got caught up in it the way they did.
Yeah, Aaron, that was one of my key findings and one of the things I concluded after finishing the book. And the really troubling thing here is that all of these characters, the people that you mentioned who found themselves having to make decisions, having to try and see their way forward in this melee, they found themselves in an extremely troubled system, right? Like I said, laden with contradictions that was determined decades before determined in some ways decades before the scandal kicked off. And so in some ways, these characters didn't have an ultimate choice as to the situation they found themselves in, but had to make decisions on you know, whether they would speak out, you know, whether, for in Holden Thorpe's case, whether I fire Butch Davis, mm-hmm. whether I launch an investigation. And those are near decisions that he can make in the moment, but the larger landscape driven by the notion of the student athlete and amateur ideal, that was groundwork that was laid decades ago. And so, right, in a way, the, you know, media coverage can focus on villains, heroes, people who are to blame, but there's a larger fractured landscape that should really put everyone in higher education on notice.
And with that in mind, and again, we're speaking with Andy Thomason, the author of Discredited, and we've got to start wrapping up. Looking ahead, What steps do you think need to be taken to address this issue, to solve it, or at least move the dial closer to a situation that's better, where we don't end up in this situation at different universities?
Well, one of the things we've seen in recent months is that college athletics is in tumult, and we're seeing the advent of name, image, likeness rules, which are allowing college athletes to make some money off of their names, images, and likenesses. But while that is definitely a step that reformers are cheering, it doesn't do a whole lot to relieve the contradiction that I'm talking about, which is athletes who are forced to big-time athletes who are forced to masquerade as students with all the advantages that their classmates have. And so the NCAA is rewriting its constitution right now. One step that they could take is to take some action to relax the student athlete label. And if the NCAA doesn't take action on that, we've seen movement from the courts, from federal courts and the Supreme Court, to say, you know, look, we're losing patience with this ideology, this myth of the student athlete. And so if the NCAA doesn't take action to relieve that notion, then we very well may see a successful court challenge that could bring down the whole notion of amateurism.
The book is Discredited, The UNC Scandal and College Athletics Amateur Ideal. The book talk is tomorrow, Tuesday the 19th, 6 p.m. at Flyleaf Books. The author is Andy Thomason. Flyleafbooks.com for more information on the talk and the book. Andy, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Aaron.